How much damage can a voicemail hacking do to a media empire?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. And now the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Today, the British Parliament holds an emergency three-hour debate on accusations that employees of the newspaper News of the World hacked into people's cell phones. Global media titan Rupert Murdoch owns that paper. He also owns The Wall Street Journal and Fox Television here in the U.S. and a whole host of other media properties around the world, from Canada to his homeland of Australia. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London to walk us through this story, a very complicated one. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Talk about this phone hacking. What exactly is phone hacking?
It's calling someone's cell phone, getting their password, and listening to their messages. And it's alleged that News of the World did this to the cell phone of a missing 13-year-old girl who, it later turned out, had been murdered. News of the World hacked into her phone so they could report on the case. And it's alleged they actually deleted some messages on her phone to make room for more. This has caused a wave of revulsion here because this gave the parents the false hope that their daughter might still be alive. And there have now been numerous other allegations suggesting phone hacking on an industrial scale by the News of the World.
What impact, Stephen, is this having on Murdoch and his dominance in the newspaper business there?
Well, this is an immensely powerful media group. It's got 40% of the British press. It runs the country's biggest commercial TV broadcaster. The problem is the editor at the News of the World at the time of the most damaging alleged incident was Rebecca Brooks, who is now the head of News International and one of Murdoch's most trusted executives. There have been widespread calls for her to resign. Simon Greenberg of News International says Rebecca Brooks won't resign, but she has launched a full internal inquiry.
She's absolutely determined to get to the bottom of this issue. We are under no illusion that she is absolutely determined that if things went wrong, that we will correct them and that that justice will be done.
There are likely to be renewed calls for her head, however, during today's parliamentary debate on the issue. A very tricky subject, this, for both the government and the opposition. Both main parties have cozied up to Rupert Murdoch because it's claimed they feel they need his newspaper's support if they want to get elected.
So a balancing act there, Stephen. Any kind of financial damages yet?
Yes, Ford has said it will no longer advertise in the News of the World. A number of other big advertisers say they are, quote, reviewing the situation. And there's a campaign underway on Twitter and Facebook urging all advertisers to boycott the paper.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard. An interesting story reporting from London this morning. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower right now. In Europe, the debt crisis in Portugal is dragging stocks down all over. And the Portuguese market fell more than 2.5% today after Moody's downgraded that country's government debt to junk status. Wall Street yesterday, markets were mixed. The Nasdaq added a little, the Dow lost a little, about 12 points to close at 12,569.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
A judge in Detroit tomorrow is expected to rule on a dispute involving the privately owned Ambassador Bridge, which connects Detroit to Canada. It's the busiest international trade crossing in North America, and the two-year-old case highlights a big clash between the private sector and the government. Reporter Sarah Hewlett has more.
On a recent day in Detroit, motorist Jessica Irvine has just wound her way past orange barrels and temporary signs to duty-free gas pumps at the foot of the Ambassador Bridge.
It's kind of confusing. It's a little bit of a mess right now.
The mess inside the plaza is the result, in part, of a dispute between the company that owns the bridge and the state. One of the issues is the bank of gas pumps where Irvine is fueling up. Tony Cratefill is an engineer for the Michigan Department of Transportation. He says the bridge company ignored plans that would have routed traffic past its lucrative duty-free store and gas station. Instead, travelers like Irvine are directed right through it.
You could see where if there was a lot of traffic, say on a holiday weekend or something, you got people backed up in there waiting to get gas, it's going to interfere with the flow of traffic trying to get back to the freeway.
The state and the bridge company are each responsible for a share of a $230 million construction project, which is meant to better connect the bridge and the interstate freeways on the Michigan side. The state sued the bridge company in 2009 to force it to comply with the design the two sides agreed to. A judge ruled in the state's favor, and in January, the bridge company's president was briefly held in jail for refusing to comply with the judge's order. Now, nearly half a year later, the state's asking for fines of $100,000 a day until the bridge company complies. Company officials declined an interview request, but its president, Dan Stamper, told reporters last month he's ready to put the litigation behind him.
Even though we disagree with MDOT on some of the aspects of the project, we'll complete our construction before January 12, 2012, as ordered by the court.
Stamper says the company is moving toll booths that were not in compliance with the plan and is deeding over land the state needs to complete a ramp. He'll find out tomorrow whether that's enough to satisfy a judge who's presided over 2 years of hearings on the company's noncompliance. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally, researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee studied a group of nearly 200 business students and how ready each was to lie or cheat to gain a competitive advantage. The study found men with wider faces were 3 times more likely to lie and 9 times more likely to cheat to get ahead. Now, the researchers say the wider a man's face, the more powerful he feels he is. And with that power, they say, comes aggressive, self-interested behavior. But the study also stresses that men with wide faces can also channel those unethical tendencies to be more constructive and successful without having to lie or cheat. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Alabama just passed a new immigration law. Word is it's even tougher than Arizona's, and local police, they are not pleased.
I think it gives us the authority to just hold a person without bond in our jail just because we suspect that they may be here illegally.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What good's a law if the police won't enforce it? That story next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.